Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Mraz. Today's show was fuller than me after an NFL Sunday. Enjoy the takes and laughs in the best of the DA show.
We begin with the early Monday nighter last night. This was a nice little gift, huh? It was last week's Thursday night game. But because of COVID-related delays, they pushed this game, or they did push this game, to last night. They did not want to interfere with the late game, the regularly scheduled Monday night game. So they positioned this one at 5 p.m. Eastern time. So you might be just have come back from work. Maybe you were wrapping up work and you flip on a TV. Maybe you're still at work and go, wait a second, there's a Monday night football game on? Indeed. It was the Kansas City Chiefs coming off that loss against the Raiders, their first loss since last season, midway last season. It was their first loss in 11 months in a crazy twist, versus the Buffalo Bills, who also were coming off their first loss of the season as well, in that loss against the Tennessee Titans, and a rainy, windswept Buffalo. And last night, we saw the Kansas City Chiefs win a football game and not really have many dynamic plays. It wasn't an afternoon where Patrick Mahomes made your head spin. It wasn't a day where Andy Reid was calling a whole bunch of creative, quirky plays. Instead, it was a smash-mouth, back-to-business type of victory for the Chiefs. It was all on the ground, a dominant effort by Kansas City. And when you look back and look inside the stats, man, the Chiefs did whatever they wanted running the football against that Bills defense. Kansas City got the W. The Bills get the loss. And the question is, what the hell has happened to Buffalo's defense? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Touchdown taken off the board. Now can Mahomes get it back? Corner pattern near side. Kelce reaches up and makes the grab. Touchdown, Kansas City. Mark Holmes to Kelce for the second time. And sweet nectar taste by the Chiefs on a 16-yard pass, overcoming the holding penalty.
We've got to really look at our football team and say, be truthful with ourselves and say, what do we have to get corrected and have those conversations? And then... You know, if we do that, our team will move forward as we continue to grow through the season.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
So that was the great Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio with the call as the Chiefs finished off that drive throwing the football. But were dominant on the drive and all night long, running the football, setting them up into those situations. And that was Sean McDermott after the game. It was a brutal effort by the Bills' defense. How many times do we see the Chiefs' ground game outgain Mahomes? But last night, while Mahomes threw for 225 yards, the Chiefs ran for 245. And guys, this is before they get Le'Veon Bell. Clyde Edwards-Helaire ran for 161 yards. Darrell Williams ran for another 26. Patrick Mahomes scrambled 10 times for 36 yards. And by and large, when the Chiefs wanted to run the football, grind clock, and they wanted to hold on to possession on a windy, rainy night where passing the football wasn't easy, they were able to do it at will. At will. And this is a real concern because the Bills had gotten here on the back of their defense. Over the last couple of seasons, it was all about that Bills defense picking up the offense. It was all about the defense making big game-changing plays. It was all about the defense making sure that the Bills offense and quarterback didn't have to do too much. And this year, it's exactly the opposite. And that's got to be worrisome. That's got to be discouraging. That's got to be one of the worst signs for the Bills, is that, yes, Josh Allen has come forward and grown up quite a bit this year. And yes, it's an attack, it's an offense that you want to have gotten better over the last couple of seasons. And finally, this year, you feel better about it. But it's also not a team that can just afford to not have a defense. If you look at the Bills in terms of total yards given up right now, here are the teams worse than the Bills in terms of yards allowed. The Falcons, the Jaguars, the Vikings. You know what these teams have in common? They're awful. They're not going into the playoffs. They've got one win on the season. This is a Bills team that is just getting gouged every which way. And they're not a team that's getting right now to the passer. That's also a big-time worry. They're not sacking the quarterback. They're in the bottom third of the NFL in sacks this season. So what are they doing right? The fact is, not much. And last night, it was a real worry because the Chiefs didn't even need a dynamic night from Patrick Mahomes and the passing game to win, and to win comfortably. The Bills just couldn't move the football. And Josh Allen, from his early season success, has definitely regressed the last 2 weeks. Last night, Josh Allen threw for 122 yards. 122! That's not going to get it done. And most of that came on that late drive where they got the touchdown, but clearly the Chiefs were in kind of a prevent defense, allowing the Bills to keep things within the middle of the field. I'll tell you, when the Bills had closed the gap to one score and they had to get off of the football field, not only did the Chiefs go down the field and get the points they needed to extend the lead to two scores and put the game out of reach, but Mahomes did it with such poise and such ease. They just were converting third downs. They were just converting on the ground. They were converting when they wanted to. There was wide open receivers. And the Chiefs, when you give Mahomes a chance at the end of the game to ice it, he's almost always going to do it. He is surgical back there when he's got one drive to ice it, and did it last night. The Bills can't get to where they want to go if the defense looks like that. And I'd say, hey, against the Chiefs, things like this happen. But no, this has been the Bills over the course of the first 6 weeks of the season. Buffalo is 4-2. That's the good news. And Buffalo's still in first place atop the division. That's the good news. The bad news is they're going to have to play a lot better than they did last night and the last two nights for them to do anything in January. Because the last two games they played, Tennessee and Kansas City, they played the big boys on their schedule, and they've lost both those games. And they've looked like the B team in both. Here's your phone number at a Trash Tuesday, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Mraz, what's the bigger concern after the last 2 weeks, two losses by Buffalo? Is it that Josh Allen has regressed, or that the Bills' defense simply cannot stop good offenses?
It's the defense, because you expect Josh Allen to be a roller coaster, and the defense last night, if you can't slow the Chiefs' offense, where Patrick Mahomes is already being slowed by a driving rainstorm, and you're at home if you're Buffalo, and you cannot stop the ground game, that's a major problem. And to me, the score doesn't even dictate it. Let's not forget, Travis Kelce to close that first half has that fumble, or the Chiefs are likely going in for at least three, and Patrick Mahomes basically slips and doesn't hit hit Travis Kelce in stride where he would have been running free wide open for a touchdown in that third quarter. That's another 10 points on the board missed by the Chiefs that the Bills had really nothing to do with. And if you can't have those things happen to you and not take advantage in a driving rainstorm and your defense is going to get gashed, how can I have absolutely any confidence in you? Luckily for Buffalo, like when you take NyQuil when you have a cold, they got the Jets coming up this week, so plenty of time to try to fix that defense and get right.
The Bills are giving up as many yards per down as the Cowboys are. And the Cowboys have a historically awful defense. I expect the Bills just to be better than this. And I don't know if this is a talent thing where they've had some bodies injured or left, or this is a scheme thing. But last night, the Chiefs are lining up and they're dictating what they're going to do. We're going to run the football. We don't want to pass at a night like tonight. We want to run the football. And this is, again, pre-Le'Veon Bell. He's not even eligible right now, or wasn't last night because of the COVID restrictions. He'll be eligible for their next game. They're lining up and telling you, we're going to run the football here, and the Bills can't do anything about it. Now, the Chiefs are an excellent team, obviously, and they're a Super Bowl champion for a reason. But, Mraz, it wasn't like they were doing anything creative on the ground. They were lining up and just beating the Bills. They were lining up man on man and just beating them, whipping them every single play. And that, to me, is really alarming.
And as Aikman pointed out, too, in that second half, how many offensive line changes due to injury did Kansas City have to handle in this game? Mike Remmers is kicking out to right tackle. They have a brand new center. Osemele now has been lost with two torn tendons. And basically the Chiefs offensive line, which is such patchwork, went out there and did anything they wanted to do versus the Bills defensive front. And if it's not for guys like Jordan Poyer coming up and making plays, you know, at the line of scrimmage from the secondary, the Bills up front got totally punished by essentially a backup offensive line with the Chiefs. That's unacceptable if you think you're a top tier defense and you're a defensive first team.
The Bills last night, it's very alarming because in that division, the Patriots are a weird team. We don't know exactly what they're going to be over the course of this season, but I have to imagine both of those games are not easy games for the Bills. They've still got the two against the Pats. The Dolphins are frisky. The Dolphins right now are frisky. And yesterday you were saying, hey, don't look now. But the Dolphins are an exciting team in that division. I'd still pick the Bills over the course of the long haul, 16 weeks. I think they're better talent-wise. They've also got more experience. But if you're asking me if the Bills can hold on to this division, if Josh Allen looks like that last night and the defense looks like that, that's a terrible combination for them. One or the two has to pick up the other. And last night, Allen was terrible. And the defense was terrible. And the Bills, against an offense in Miami right now that's clicking pretty good, that's actually going to be two really interesting games this year for Buffalo.
It really will. And it raises the question, maybe Tua doesn't see the field as a starter this year. Fitzpatrick has him basically in a hunt for the division in December. Be crazy. The Miami Dolphins, you got to keep your eye on. I think they have the third best point differential in the NFL right now as well.
Yeah, and that Dolphins team is suddenly trying to figure it out. I mean, I think coming into the season, there was some holdover from last year, and there was some kind of good vibes from last season, but I'm not sure they necessarily believed it was their moment yet. I don't know how they couldn't right now after the last 2 weeks. Again, those aren't great teams they've beaten, the Niners and the Jets, but it goes to show you that they can outclass you. There are teams that they're just flat out better than right now. As you said, this Bills team gets a feel good against the Jets coming up on Sunday, which they desperately need. But then after that, they have three difficult challenges. Patriots, Seahawks, Cardinals. It's going to tell us a lot about this Bills team. They'll obviously beat the Jets handily, so they'll be 5-2. But are they 5-5 after that next 3 weeks and that brings them into the bye? Do they win two of those three? Do they win one of those three? Do they win none of those three? It's Pats in Buffalo, the Seahawks in Buffalo, so that's huge, and then at Arizona. 3 huge weeks after that Jets game coming up on Sunday.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like
through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And a reminder that the DA show is available on your smart speaker. Tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio, and every single morning, wake up with us. Get your day started with us. Get ready for your day with us. Wherever you are in the house, just tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. We begin with Tua Tagovailoa, who did get in his first NFL action on Sunday as the Dolphins won a laugher over the Jets. And Tua already prepared for his NFL career, going third person like a veteran.
Biggest thing that really stands out to me is just being able to make my parents proud. You know, so whether that's Tua as a football player, Tua as a person, Tua as a son, I think that's what brings me the most joy, is seeing how happy my parents get and then seeing how happy my family gets as well with, you know, who I am and then also what I do.
Okay. This is awesome. The scene after that game was a poignant one as Tua was sitting on the field soaking it all in. And I'm sure emotionally, he didn't know what that would feel like when he injured his hip. He didn't know what that would feel like going back to the draft. There were so many concerns and so many doubts, and I still have them for Tua Tagovailoa, but I root for him because he's a very, very mature young man. He's been a great teammate. He helped Alabama to crazy heights, and I think that Miami's betting on the person of Tua, not just the football player. He's a great person. So for all of those reasons, seeing him sitting on the field when nobody was around on Sunday definitely clutches at your heart. That's a young man that deserves the success that he's earned. But boy, we're already doing the third person thing. Mraz, how about you redo Tua? I want to play this one more time. Pete, can we re-rack this? Let's play this one more time. And then, Mraz, I want you to do the same exact thing as though you were talking about Bob's Bar and about your broadcasting career. But instead of saying me, you have to say all these things as Mraz, okay? Let's just hear Tua one more time here.
Biggest thing that really stands out to me is just being able to make my parents proud. You know, so whether that's Tua as a football player, Tua as a person, Tua as a son, I think that's what brings me the most joy, is seeing how happy my parents get and then seeing how happy my family gets as well with, you know, who I am and then also what I do.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay, so just imagine Mraz outside of Bob's Bar. There's a crowded media session around him. People are sticking microphones in his face. And they say, Mraz, could you answer the question? How do you feel in terms of representing your family?
You know, the biggest thing for me is just making my parents proud, whether that's Mraz is a drinker, whether that's Mraz is being butt naked in Central Park, whether that's Mraz is a drink pour, whether that's Mraz for making a football food of the week. You know, just to stand there and look at the face and know that, hey, Mraz made them feel like that. That's how I feel.
I mean, Tua already clicking into third person. He got in like seven snaps. He was in like seven snaps and he's already doing Tua as a son, Tua as a player. Whoa. Wow. All right. He's got it down, huh?
Nice handoffs, Tua.
Here's Ryan Tannehill, who joined the Jim Rome Show right here on CBS Sports Radio on his opportunity in the offseason re-signing with the Titans.
I wasn't in a position that I wanted to be in. I still felt I had a lot in the tank, a lot more to give. But being a backup was a position I was in at the time. So I tried to do everything I could to continue to improve, get better, and be the best backup I could, and just kind of bide my time. I didn't know if it was going to happen. I didn't know if I was going to get an opportunity for whatever reason, either here or somewhere else. But I knew if I did, I wanted to do everything I could to take advantage of it and not look back.
It's been a great sports story, certainly a great football story. Ryan Tannehill, who had brief moments of success in Miami, ends up landing in Tennessee to back up Marcus Mariota. And Mariota's the incumbent. Mariota's the first-round draft pick. Mariota's the franchise guy. But Mariota's never quite getting that team over the hump. Mariota can't quite elevate his game to that next level. And ultimately, that team needed a guy like Ryan Tannehill to take care of the football, to make some big throws when needed, but just overall provide some consistency and one or two big plays a game, big throws a game. But that's exactly what Tannehill did. Tannehill's numbers will never jump out and shock you. But because of how well they're coached, because of how smash mouth their defense is, because of how great Derrick Henry is, which we will get to coming up here later on in the show, Ryan Tannehill's the perfect solution for that offense. In the offseason, many people said, well, do you want to give Tannehill all of the money because don't you want him to have to prove it again? And the Titans said, we don't need him to prove it again. We know what we have in him, and we want to give him the big money deal, and they did, and it looks very smart. Tennessee is one of the rare undefeated teams still in the NFL and look every bit as good as they did last year. They were not a fluke. And finally, here is caller Tommy in Pennsylvania. He calls in to Amy's show After Hours with Amy Lawrence here that precedes us on CBS Sports Radio every single morning. And he's a Packers fan. But as a Packers fan, how much does he really know about his favorite team? Let's play the clip.
Tommy is in Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, how's it going?
Good.
Who do they play next?
Aren't you the Packers fan, man?
What's that?
Aren't you the Packers fan?
Yeah, but I didn't get to watch the game today. I couldn't get it. I had to listen to it.
No problem.
So I just thought that maybe you would know that who they play next.
Yes, they're on the road at Houston. Coming up in their next game. And then they are home to the Vikings, and then they go on the road to the Niners on a short work week.
Okay.
All right.
They're at home at Lambeau for the Niners.
No, they're on the road at Levi Stadium for that game.
Which one are they at home with?
Vikings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they played them, I think, once already.
Yeah, they started out the season with them.
So they'll meet the Buccaneers again.
Not this season.
No.
Maybe in the playoffs, but not this season.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Not regular season, I should say.
Callers! Cue to our bosses. We want more calls. God bless you. God bless you guys. God bless our listeners. I love the D-Aliens. The callers have been a huge part of our show's success, and I never take that for granted. But you guys have no idea how often bad calls just totally nuke a show. I mean, when you live in sports radio and you breathe sports radio, and you host sports radio or work within sports radio, you are inundated by bad sports calls that just nuke an entire show. And Amy's, you know, she's got great energy every single morning, and she does her thing, and they've got a plan of what they want to do, and then there's just that, which is a total turd and punch bowl moment, you know? You're like,
what
okay.
What are they at home with?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay, we're definitely talking to a hardcore Packers fan here, and we want to get your thoughts on an embarrassing effort against the Buccaneers. You're expecting, okay, this guy's going to have some passion. He's going to have some energy. He's going to be really bent out of shape about the Packers. You're going to get a really good take here, and then you get a guy that says, well, who do they play next?
Who do they play next?
That's your take, man? You called in for that? Look, for as long as you are on hold to get on the radio, in a fraction of the time, you could have simply Googled Green Bay Packers schedule, and it would have been way easier than getting on the radio and asking the host
they play next?
What the schedule was coming up. And that's your sound check. To really delve into when sports callers go wrong, Mraz has worked behind the scenes for years in sports radio, and we here on the DA show, we sprinkle in the calls because we feel like we've got a good radio show and a good vibe going, and we have a direction where we want to go, and oftentimes callers can derail you if you're not really, really disciplined in when you take them and what type of calls you're taking and how how much you screen them. But on the local side, local is floated by the callers. And so Mraz was behind the scenes answering phones for the midday show on WFAN in New York for years and overnights before his days here on CBS Sports Radio. Mraz, how often did you pick up the phone and a guy not even get on the air because the call you knew as you screened him was immediately a disaster like Tommy in Pennsylvania?
Now, look, at the early stages, I would put anybody through. I'd be like a bad left tackle. Come on through and sack us.
Oh, but nice. You were Eric Flowers of call screening.
But you learn after a while, like what you're pointing out, no, this is terrible. This can't happen on a show. And what you really learn is the worst of the worst callers that you know are going to bring nothing to the table. When you are honest with them and think you're doing a favor, hey, man, sorry, can't put you through. It doesn't fit the show. The anger that comes through with these people, like getting yelled, all of a sudden now they want to spice it up and have a hot take when they're saying this, that, and that about me and my family because I won't let them on and demanding they talk to a boy. Like the anger that bad sports radio callers have when they don't get through on the air, they're like somebody when they ask for like a cop's badge's number. Like they want to demand, why can't I be on? And it, you know, I feel like saying, you know, 10 minutes ago, if you had this passion, maybe you'd be on. They are so awful, so bad. And, D.A., I often get the question, because I was producing at WFAN for a while, you know, same time as I was doing this. Oh, you're only doing the D.A. show now. Don't you miss the WFAN? Don't you miss the local stuff? You know, that's where you grew up, wouldn't you, right? And I always say to them, I got to be honest with you, the callers are way better nationally. The structure's way better nationally. You get driven insane by some of these people locally. It drives you nuts.
So if you pick up the phone, you can tell it's a Tommy in Pennsylvania situation. And you go, hey, we don't have time for you, or no, we're not going to take your phone call. Do you do it politely, or do you like, no, you stink?
It really depends on the attitude. Usually I say I try to lie to them at first. Hey, running out of time, we're trying to switch the topic. Then if they sniff right through that, oh, that's ridiculous. Who do you know? This is for the listeners. Then I get angry, and I get nasty real quick. My patience wears thin. I don't like confrontation, but because I can be a tough guy over the phone, I'll confront.
So this show, we've been very lucky, and the reason that our callers are routinely very, very good is that our callers understand the temperament of the show. If you listen to the show, you get the show. If you listen to the show, you understand. You're hearing things, and you're like, oh, I've got a funny anecdote here. I've got a good story here, or I'm asking this question here, or I've got this take. You kind of get it. I think in local, kind of like what you're saying, when you let everybody in, everybody thinks they belong, and everybody just does whatever they want, and it's like herding cats, because when you just take like 30 phone calls in a show, everybody is just going to try to pour through. Like, you see that left tackle getting abused, everybody wants a blitz from the right side. Yep. Now it's like, yep, I want mine right now, because everybody's eaten today.
Here's my fake trade proposal that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Now, again, you know, not everything on our show is perfect. Originally, Angels in the Outfield story. But other than that, we've mostly been good.
Wow. Low blow on Ridgely's Angels in the Outfield story. He was at the filming of Angels in the Outfield, if I may remind you.
He was. And Ridgely's great. And Ridgely was a great fill-in producer. That was the single worst call that we've had in the last 4 years on the show. And it ruined Mothership at the Movies that week. So not everything has been perfect here.
That
on
was
the show
an epic story.
I could just imagine Amy also, like, towards the end of her show. She's been up all night. It's a four-hour show. We're trying to land the plane, as we like to say here on the show. And then Tommy in Pennsylvania wants her to run down the Packers schedule. Oh, God. Tommy, can you just have done this on your own time?
Hey, Tommy is a fraud, by the way. You don't know that they're not playing the Bucs twice this year? I mean come
really,
on.
Really. The old NFC Central, he thinks they're still playing in.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227 on this Trash Tuesday. It's sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
Well, my trash actually goes to those local sports radio callers, DA. There is something going on in New York that I can't take anymore. Somehow, 3 years into his career, Jets fans are still calling local New York radio, calling Sam Darnold Sam Darno. It is making me drive off a freaking road. It's not as if he's a left guard. It's not as if he's an inside linebacker that barely gets on the field. He's the stinking quarterback of an NFL team that was a coveted draft pick just 3 years ago from USC. He has an easy name, too. It's not Scalacciocious at the end of it. It's Darnold. And because Mike Francesa once kept calling him Darno, no, the listeners believe
that's not
Mike
the
Francesa.
Reason. No.
You think it's because of Travis Darno.
Yes, I think it's because of former Mets catcher Travis Darno. You have a lot of idiots that were trained to speak their fake French with Darno's accented name, and now they think they're smarter than they are when they see Sam Darnold's name.
They may, but it was also what Mike Francesa kept calling him, and people love Mike Francesa in New York. It is now 3 years later. If you watch the Jets, nobody calls him Darno. Why do you still have it in your head when you call up that he's Sam Darno? It's Sam Darnold. He's a cornerback. Trash him.
Trash him.
Don't let a raccoon rip into that bag.
AB, why do you think that New Yorkers still call Sam Darnold the starting quarterback of the Jets in year three, Sam Darno?
Yeah, I don't know that there's one right answer. I think this is a 33% split between just pure idiocy, the Darno effect, and the Francesa effect. I think all of those are in play and maybe changed by the caller, but those are all to blame for this.
But if there's no Travis Darno, nobody calls Sam Darnold Sam Darno in New York because it doesn't look like it's French and there's no other Darnos. This is a Travis Darno problem. And so,
wait, but did Francesa call him Darno because he was used to saying
yes,
Darno?
That's absolutely it. This is where New Yorkers got lulled into a fake sense of sophistication because of Travis Darno. And so they think it's French.
I know a French guy.
And Mike thought it was French. And then they had all just switched that one little lever in their brain from, oh, it's not spelled like it looks. Okay. Because I was calling him Darno. And that little lever switched, and now they can't switch it back for Sam Darnold. Pete the Body Bellotti, who are you trashing?
Well, DA, I am trashing the last 2 hours here of my work experience at CBS Sports Radio. Normally, we are blessed with superior equipment and technology, and it's all gone to the wayside in the last 2 hours. So we have been doing a lot of catch-up, but we get this show on the air just for you guys out there. So I am trashing the last 2 hours and our technology, at least at this moment.
Okay, we're trashing.
Household waste goes in this bin.
Okay, so Pete's telling you it's a charity case this morning for the listeners. We are only on the air because of the listeners, not because our paycheck demands it. Okay,
that is right.
Okay. AB, who are you trashing?
DA, I'm going to trash, I guess, technology as well. The keyboard on which I type my scripts every morning. I've done all of the different things I can think of to try and fix this. I have reinstalled it. I've taken the batteries out. But it has this nice little knack of not even getting a physical stuck key, but I'll just hit the D button, and then I'll get 18 Ds in a row just for fun. Mm. So I'm constantly deleting and going back. I can't type well enough to begin with. I don't need the keyboard fighting me as well most mornings. So get it out of here.
Trash the keyboard.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
I've had my own bout as a fake sophisticated New Yorker this week. There was a couple of white, what appeared to be kind of paint splotches on the driveway. And the Bourbon Belle said, hey, did you see the white splotches of the driveway? I said, I didn't see them. So she pointed them out to me, and it looked almost like somebody had dropped just a little itty bitty piece of white paint or drips of white paint, like they were painting something. And we have like white fence. And she said, were you painting the fence? I said, no. So what do you think this is from? I go, I don't know. This is really weird. And it looked almost like some type of white splatter that had come from somewhere. And she said, well, what do you think this could be? I go, I don't know. So I got down on my hands and knees, and I started scraping at it. And it was kind of powdery. And I said, was there anything that was powder that came out? And we thought, oh, maybe this was when Taylor was here. Maybe she had formula. There was like a white powdered formula perhaps that got splattered on the driveway. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just wash this off. So I'm down to my hands and knees. I'm scraping it. I'm smelling it. I didn't quite taste it, but it's up against my nose.
Don't make the mistake I would make.
And so I didn't taste it. I still don't know what it was, but I was walking down the driveway farther to bring down the trash the other day. And there was definitely bird poop that was splattered on the driveway that looked exactly like that. So I'm not sure if that was Taylor's formula or I was on my hands and knees scraping up powdered bird poop and putting it up to my nose like, oh, I think this could be Parmalat. Oh, I think this might be formula. I think this is baby formula. Yeah, I definitely instead, I'm probably just shoveling bird guano into my nose. So trash me.
Are those maggots?
Late last week, the Bourbon Bell had pointed out some white splatters on our blacktop on the driveway, and I got down in all fours and was scraping it up with my finger, smelling it, thinking that maybe it was paint, or perhaps I had theorized it was when Mraz and Danielle and Taylor were here a couple weekends ago, that maybe it was like milk or formula that had spilled on the driveway and splattered and dried. I picked it up to my nose and it smelled a little bit like baby formula. But what do I know? I don't have a baby. And so then I'm bringing the garbage down the next day and down to the bottom of the driveway, there's the same exact white splatters. And I know Taylor wasn't down to the bottom of our driveway where the garbage was, which makes me believe that it was bird poop.
And
that I was on all fours scraping up bird poop and putting it to my nose. Now, unlike Mraz, I did not taste test it. Okay, Mraz likes to taste test the dingleberries that fall onto his carpeted floor.
Only to save a dog. Life.
But I do have to imagine that I was not scraping up dried formula, but instead I was scraping up bird guano from my driveway. Duty!
I mean, you guys live in the wilderness. You've never seen white bird poop splatter on a driveway?
I have seen it, and this one looked a lot cleaner. It almost looked like a perfect white paint drop. So does Taylor, first of all, use formula?
She does use formula, yes. And we do carry powder, yes. But.
Okay, yeah.
I was just going to finish by telling you, I know what we did that day because there was a big panic that I didn't pack enough powder. Her going home bottle that was going to have her fall asleep, I poured the rest of our powder, the only time it was out of the bag, on your deck. So she never had formula powder out on your driveway. So I don't know how there could have been splatter. And there's no way. Once it becomes liquid, DA, it's not going to stain the driveway. I mean, how much has there been rain since and all that other stuff?
That's what I was thinking. Coming out, that was right at where our gate is going into the driveway. So it was perfectly placed. But I think we got dive bombed and I was scraping it up and putting it to my nose.
I cannot believe, as meticulous as you are, you got down on your hands and knees and scraped up bird poop and put it to your nose and basically were analyzing it like you're a science.
Poopy! Scientist. Yeah, it was CSI Amendolara.
I don't know, Bourbon Bell. They have poop like this in Kentucky?
Number two.
So you're telling me that what I scraped up and put within a fraction of a centimeter from my nose was not baby formula?
No. I can't imagine it was. There's no way. Unless it crystallized and you have the weirdest air concentration up in Warwick, New York possible that led to some gravitational pull that somehow made a droplet turn into that splatter and it grew. There's no way. You are scraping bird poop and putting it to your nose. Which, I'm sorry, is what I did with a chocolate chip that I thought was what I did with a dingleberry that I thought was a chocolate chip. Except I had to go with the taste test quick because I was eating a granola bar. At least I was eating the granola bar. Yours is worse.
So, the parallel would be if I was eating a vanilla ice cream cone.
Yes.
And I looked down and I thought that perhaps the vanilla ice cream cone had dripped onto the pavement.
Right.
And I got down and I tasted it.
Right, you did the old cop cocaine test right in the mouth, yeah, and then you realize.
But, two.
No, D.A., don't let him do this. He just said that your decision was worse than his.
He ate it.
You did not have to put it in your mouth. You could have just thrown it away. Whatever it was, just put it in the garbage and everyone was safe. You decided to taste it. There's no reason to have done that.
Mm-hmm. He put the fumes near his nose. There's particles that come off that. He had bird poop literally go up his nasal cavity, and it's in his bloodstream now.
Sorry, there's an ace card here, and it is poop in your mouth. Okay, so no matter what I had...
You had poop in your nose! You had poop in your nose!
Whatever I had close to my nasal cavity wasn't poop on my tongue.
But nose connects to mouth. You ever get, like, mucus that comes up? So you had sucked... Basically, you sucked bird poop fumes into your nose, and there's little invisible particles that rise up. They go back through the channels of your throat. You end up with bird poop in your throat. Just because it got there in a different avenue doesn't mean it did it. You know? I mean, drugs are consumed different ways. We consume poop different ways. They ended up in our mouth the same way.
You took a dog's turd... put it on your tongue.
You took a bird's turd and put it in your nose. It's the same thing. At least the dog is family. You don't know where that bird's been. It could be flying to Myrtle Beach, flying back up north. Who knows who it's come in contact with?
So I got to worry now.
You could get a bird flu. I can't get a dog flu. What you did is worse. You could have started another pandemic sniffing that.
So I should be worried that maybe the bird that pooped on my driveway had gone to Myrtle Beach randomly?
Oh, so now birds don't fly south for the winter. You hear that? They don't fly south.
I'm just wondering why that should be the concern, that, it could have been Myrtle Beach.
The point is, if I eat my own dog's poop, I know where he's been, right? Like, he's living with me. I know the food he's eating. I may not agree with it. He goes to the same places I'm going.
I may not agree with it.
If you're ingesting bird poop up through your nose, you don't have any relationship with that bird. You don't know where he's been. You don't know what goats he's been on. You don't know where he's been.
What goats he's been on?
Well, you live near the farm. Like, what if he's just landing on goats, eating the same hay as them? I said, you know, he's going down to Florida. He's coming back up. He's traveled the world. It could be carrying anything. You don't be sniffing bird poop. I eat the dog poop. It's going to be gross. I live with him, though. You know, we're buddies.
You think birds land on goats now? What do you think? Everything is a Snow White cartoon?
I mean, again, he knows about death from all dogs go to heaven. So it's on the table that he thinks that's what nature's like.
The point remains, you don't know that he didn't land on a goat because you don't know where the bird came from or the poop came from. You shouldn't be putting that near your nose.
Yeah, with all due respect, you don't know that the poop that you ate from your dog wasn't from other poop that he ate. He's a dog. He eats other dogs' poop.
No, he doesn't. I witness every meal he has.
No, you don't, because he sneaks out of the garbage can most of his meals.
Hey, but he's not eating the poop out of
dogs.
I'm a good dog parent. I always got my eyes. I don't let him
eat a great dog parent.
Poop.
You saw a piece of turd on the ground and put it in your mouth and swallowed it. You swallowed it.
Save his life because they can't have chocolate.
You could have just thrown it away.
This is like the Michael Jackson thing. You guys always bury the lead. A dog's life was saved.
No.
I'm a freaking hero.
You were burying the lead. The lead is you decided to put poop in your mouth. That's the lead, Sean.
You guys are dog owners. Dogs can't have chocolate or they die. It's toxic inside their body. I rushed because that dog rushed to eat the same chocolate chip. And if he ends up eating that and he has a seizure and drops dead, I'm gonna live with myself the rest of my life.
Why didn't you just pick it up and put it in the garbage or put it in your pocket? Why did you have to eat it?
Because I also was just eating a granola bar, so to make sure I was already in the process of eating that chocolate. It's a mental thing. I saved somebody's life.
And you guys are
acting like it's not worse than DA sniffing random hobo, basically bird poop off his driveway. And
how did
it up
suddenly
his nose
the bird poop
like it's
become
a line of cocaine?
Why was it hobo now?
Well, because birds are homeless. They're flocking all over the place.
Flocking all over the place. He's got a little stick with a satchel over his shoulder.
I'm sorry.
Flying
you guys
out of Myrtle
lost
Beach.
This one. DA needs to be hit hard for this. This is a bad job by him.
Look, I trashed myself. So I brought this to the committee.
Right.
I presented it in front of the jury, and I am trashing myself. But it still does not reach the level of sticking a piece of turd in your mouth and eating it.
All right. I mean, we could all agree to disagree here. You still got bird poop particles up through your nasal cavity, down your throat, into the back of your mouth. I'd Listerine today. That's all I'm saying.
Thanks, Doc.
Appreciate it.
What did you do after you ate dog poop?
Listerine five times. I absolutely did. Okay. I'm giving him advice. I've
so
been there.
You didn't have
poop
bad,
in the past.
So that you didn't have bad breath that smelled like the poop you ate.
No. No. But my wife so tells me, ask me all the time if
people.
I ate more.
You could have stomach pumped, but instead, no, I Listerine so that my breath was fresh and minty after I ate the turd.
You read it kills 98% of all germs. It says it right on the bottle.
I don't think they were accounting for those germs, though. And now, boys, right on cue, we're stunned.
Yes.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Fresh off a dog poop conversation, we have humans farting. This all started last
on
year.
On brand.
When Uber driver Alexander Bonchev picked up four people one night in Bristol, England. They were on their way to a nightclub. During the ride, a male passenger in the back seat farted. The driver was so offended, he ordered the man out of his car. He said it was the last straw of all the mean things and gross things passengers can do in the vehicle. However, that rider, James Mallett, wouldn't leave, instead offering to fight the driver. Mm. He threw a couple of punches before getting knocked down by Bonchev. He left the scene, eventually found by police. The court case from all of this ended last week with Mallett getting just a suspended sentence, a small fine, and community service. However, the Uber driver, he apparently got hurt enough in the fight that he couldn't drive long enough that he lost his job and his house.
Wow.
And now he is back in his native Bulgaria, all because this dude ripped one in the back seat and wouldn't politely apologize and get out and find a new way to the nightclub.
You know, so this guy that punched this Uber driver not only deserved to get thrown out of the car, but should have to pay some type of restitution for the Uber driver losing his job. Now, it seems a little weird that he lost his job because he had a broken pinky. Was that it? Like, how do you lose your Uber driving job with a broken pinky?
Yeah, there was a little confusion, at least reading the story, as to why he couldn't drive for so long that things got that bad. But those are the dots they want to connect for us.
But, I mean, let's face it. I always feel really bad for Uber drivers, cabbies, Lyft drivers, what have you, because almost always when you call an Uber or a Lyft, especially at night, it's because you're coming back from a bar or a club or somebody is, and you're too intoxicated to drive, which is great that these rideshare programs are out there, rideshare options are out there. Not everybody, though, is going to the airport. I mean, there's a lot of people that are just too hammered to drive, and so they call these guys, and because they know they'll have the Ubers, they just get rip-roaring drunk and act the fools. I mean, if you were in New York City or any major metropolitan area and you see Ubers all over the place, you just look in the back seat and these people are just doing whatever they want, screaming, yelling, singing, hanging out the window. So I always feel so bad for these Uber drivers. People fall asleep in their cars, leave things in their cars all the time. So I can only imagine how you're at wit's end after a long night, and then a guy cuts the cheese like that, and suddenly you're like, yeah, all right, enough is enough. Okay, get out of the car. You're drunk and you stink. And, you know, now suddenly you get fought over that? I mean, the Uber driver here is in the right, I believe.
He is, but he isn't. He should not have lost his livelihood, and he should not be getting fought. But guys, I mean, roll down the windows if somebody passes gas. It's part of your deal. You know you're driving at night picking somebody up. It's a human body function. It's disgusting. It's awful. But you're going to throw somebody out of the car. This is why we have ratings. You just give them a one-star or a zero-star, the rider, a rating so other drivers are aware. You don't throw somebody out of a car because he passed gas. So now this driver, I hope he never farts the rest of his life because you've now pointed the finger and said that's unacceptable in public. Sometimes it happens. And if you're an Uber driver, you have to understand that that's a really gross thing that could happen. That's not worthy enough to get tossed from the car. Shouldn't get fought. Shouldn't lose his livelihood. shouldn't be tossing him from the car either.
Let me tell you this. If a guy's response to being told to get out of the car because you cut the cheese is, I want to fight, I don't think it was just the fart, okay? This guy clearly is hammered and combative, and his first inclination is, let's fight, and I'm going to punch you in the face. So my guess is this was the last straw that broke the camel's back for the Uber driver.
Probably. It's intense gas.
But shame on this report then for just pointing, you know, give me a laundry list. These are the 10 things he did, and have the passing of the gas be included in there. I know the fart headline sells, but, I can only go based on what we're being told here. He got tossed for an ejection.
In terms of if you were a judge, you're always going to be very lenient on somebody passing gas. That's always going to be where you
right.
fall. I mean, this
it's
is going to be
it's organic.
This has been your resume for a long time, the defense of the gas passer.
Again, because it's sometimes people can't help it, and I can't stress that enough.
Well, I think you can, but you just don't, and you like to play it off as though you can't control it.
No, I can control it, but only for so long, DA. Then your knees start coming up to your chin, you start sweating. I mean, and then at some point, your body says, forget about it, I'm out of here. Like, you're going down a water slide, and then now you got to get tossed from an Uber for that?
When you're holding in gas, you start sweating?
If it gets really bad and I start having pains, yeah. Yeah.
Gas, bloating, stomach pain.
I don't know what goes on with your internal plumbing.
I don't know either. But I got to speak for people who have internal plumbing problems, and
yeah,
you don't deserve to get ejected.
Yeah.
As always,
low rating.
Faye, thank
a low
you
rating
for your support.
Inside, it's this date in mothership history.
On this date, October the 20th, 2017, 3 years ago, after yet another Yankees flame out of the playoffs, I had it with the Yankee fans. Roll tape! A bunch of arrogant, obnoxious, aggressive New Yorkers that feel entitled, and so you can curse out and fight everybody in the parking lot.
We are nice people. We even let Marlins man sit behind home plate.
Hey, Daddy, I want an Oompa Loompa.
I want an Oompa Loompa. I want another championship. We only have 27, Daddy.
I want an Oompa Loompa now.
I want a 28th championship, Daddy. I haven't had one in 8 years.
Pigs, swine. I hope you guys lose by 11 tonight.
Can they lose twice tonight is really my question. Is there a way for them to double lose game 6 and thus end the series? Is that a thing?
It is such a shame that we have to hate on the Yankees because they're actually a likable team.
No, Eric, that makes it. That's why we hate them. That for this group, the worst thing about them is they're the Yankees.
They're actually a likable young
for
group.
Now.
For now,
the turn's coming.
I mean, CeCe Sabathia dried out. That was good.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
But their fans are so obnoxious. This entitled group of pigs.
I'm just getting a text coming in. Didn't Dodger fans try to kill somebody a couple years ago?
It's a couple years ago.
So we can't have a woman drop a couple F-bombs in August, but they could kill anybody, and they're the great fan.
You have been particularly snorting for months now. Well, weeks now.
I'm excited to see my team succeed. I didn't make the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years.
Oh, my God. Seriously.
You know how many freaking haunted houses I had to go to
Shut
the last couple
up.
Octobers because the Yankees weren't
go
alive?
Go for the Brewers, you moron.
He didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah,
so tough being a Brewer fan. You get to root for the Packers, too. Give me a break.
Always deflection. You're unbelievable. You are the worst fan ever.
Let's go Yankees. It's our time
now. If you wanted to make one concession, stop referencing 2009 as if it was 1909.
Right.
Okay, it wasn't that long ago.
I was in my early 20s. I'm in my 30s now.
8 years is nothing.
8 years. That's the essence of Piggy Doodle Dandy, acting as though there's some type of long drought, some type of forlorn fan base, some type of decades-long torture that so many other fan bases deal with. And then the moment the Yankees get good is the arrogance. That's the problem, is that there is this awful combination of, oh, we've been so long without a title. It's too long. We'll never make it. This is unacceptable. And then it is, ha-ha, see? Yeah, we're the Yankees. Yeah, shove it right in your face. Oh, the pinstripes, the 27 titles. That's the problem. Because I've talked about, in Yankee land, to go 11 years without getting to the World Series is a really long time. For a team that's always in the top two or three from a payroll standpoint, for the expectations in New York every single year, for the signings, for the trades, for the resources, for the expectations, for the history. Going 11 years without making the World Series is a really long time. That is true. But A, don't act as though you have it worse than other fan bases. And B, once you get good, don't flex. And that's the problem. Mraz is the perfect encapsulation of this. The moment they get good, he flexes. The moment they lose, it's awful. Woe is me. I can't believe it's been this long. This is unacceptable. But then the moment Giancarlo Stanton hits a home run, opening night, or I should say, Old Timers Day, this is his Yankee moment. I love this guy. He's a true Yankee. The moment he strikes out, it's this guy's a bum. I can't stand him. Get him out. The moment the Yankees win 10 straight, you see, 28 titles. It's coming this year. It's inevitable. The moment they lose 10 straight, the season's over. I'm not interested in it. Forget it. They've sucked all the life out of it. It's this combination of woe is me and arrogance, Mraz, that you guys have cornered the market on, and it's terrible.
It's called being a fan. Everybody's the same way.
Wrong! We started last hour talking about this debate around Bob Ryan, the Hall of Fame sports writer for the Boston Globe. Okay, and he's appeared on ESPN many times. He's appeared on this show as well. He tweeted last week, "What the hell is a Twix?" And I didn't know if he was talking about the candy bar, because I didn't think that anybody didn't know what a candy bar called Twix was. I found this unfathomable. And he then doubled down and said, yes, sorry, I don't know what Twix are. I never heard of it. But you may have never heard of a Clark bar either. It's just different generations. And he said, and we can all agree, the number one draft pick is going to be Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Let's start with the last part here, Mraz. Do we agree with Bob Ryan that Reese's Peanut Butter Cup is the number one candy draft pick?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's versatile. I think it plays in a lot of different areas, play offense, defense, special teams. Everybody loves a peanut butter cup. If you don't, you certainly understand that you'll have one. You won't. Nobody has a peanut butter cup and goes, eh, this is gross. So yeah, I think it's the safe play, yeah.
And the combination of chocolate and peanut butter is just so devastating. It's like Derrick Henry. It's the speed and it's the size. I just had a package of a couple of them in my freezer. I popped one open last night before I sat down and took some notes for the show. And, you know, a frozen Reese's peanut butter cup, my goodness. I mean, it's just, it sets your world on fire.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you can warm it too, a little vanilla ice cream.
Oh my. So, okay, so we give him credit there. But Bob Ryan not knowing what a Twix is feels impossible. Now, he's 74 years old. As I said, I think both of my parents would know what a Twix is. My dad definitely does. I think my mom would. I don't know if my grandma would have before she passed away. But again, I mean, you know, if she was still around, she'd be 102 years old. So, I mean, if you're 74, how do you not know what a Twix is? Apparently, though, Mraz, as your dad, Bob the Deli Man, listens to the show at Food Town, where he works on a daily basis, now the show being broadcast, this has created quite the stir.
Yeah, people are buzzing there. They just got a cookies and cream Twix shipment in because Twix has so many different flavors. People don't believe it, D.A. Old people don't believe it. Old people buying salami and Italian bread in Bay Ridge don't believe that a 74-year-old can't know what a Twix is. A lot of comments I'm getting, such as, if you have grandkids, you have to know what a Twix is because that is a candy every kid loves. Mm-hmm. People just don't seem to understand or grasp that this is a lie. And there's also been the comment, this is just wacky morning radio. Nobody actually doesn't know what a Twix is, too. This is all Bob Ryan's caused here, an uproar. People in his demographic, his age demographic, think he's nuts.
Well, okay, so we're not doing wacky morning radio because I'm just reading to you what Bob Ryan tweeted, which, by the way, caught a lot of flack on social media and throughout the sports media universe. I mean, people can't believe it, so this is not us creating something out of nowhere. This is a topic of debate amongst a lot of corners of the sports media. Number two, I think your dad also referenced that Twix has been around quite a while, right?
Yes. As he said, Twix is nothing new, Sean. They're not like the Columbus Blue Jackets. People have heard.
And You know, Bob the Deli Man knows of what he speaks. Twix has apparently been around. It was created in the UK in the 60s. It was brought stateside in 79. So we have 41 years of Twix here in the U.S. And frankly, I didn't know this was created in the UK. This is the greatest thing that the UK has given us since Phil Collins. I mean, I can't think of many things they've given us which is better than Twix.
Those Beatles, Phil Collins, and then a Twix bar?
Essentially. I mean, what else are they doing for us these days?
A 9:30 a.m. NFL game every once in a while.
Once in a while, but the games are usually bad. The turf is all slippery. The feed is bad. I mean, you know, the Premier League and Twix. That's basically what they're giving us these days.
And you know the reputation for food in the UK, so my assumption is the Twix is the best food product to come out of there.
There's no question. I mean, the week that we spent last year for my 40th in the UK, I just absolutely loved all of my time in England. The only thing was every meal sucked. I mean, the only meal that didn't suck was the meal that was from an ethnic neighborhood that wasn't really from London. It was from some other country that brought their cuisine there. I mean, every British meal is terrible.
Got to pack your own salt and pepper.
Essentially, I mean, you just got to eat Twix every meal. If I knew that they had created Twix, I would have been like, okay, just give me Twix for breakfast. So I'm not making this up here. It's hard to imagine not knowing what a Twix is. And Bob is, again, a well-read man. You know, he's a longtime sports writer.
We're talking about Ryan, not the deli man, right? Because he's not well-read.
No, yeah. Bob Ryan is a well-read.
Make sure we circle back to the right Bob here.
Educated guy. I think he's a BC grad. I mean, that's a good school. I don't know, Bogues. You know, as much as I respect Bob Ryan, I might have lost a little bit of respect here for not knowing what Twix are.
You want to tell me he's never had a Twix? Fine. That's fine. Not for everybody. Candy's different. That's good. But to not know that they exist, because not only are they so prominent at any drugstore, supermarket, but like they're also in the Halloween like variety bag. Every single one of those things has a Snickers, a Twix, a Reese's peanut butter cup. Like, you can't avoid them. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make sense. But I've run into people, and I don't know what it is, if it's like they have a limited amount of brain space and Bob knows a lot of things about things that we don't even know about. Like maybe there just isn't room for Twix in Bob Ryan's mind. Mm. But it doesn't seem possible. He just doesn't know what they are, because he's had to have them in front of him a bazillion times by now.
I know by being in press boxes, they try to just feed you and get you out the door. And so there's a lot of crummy food there. So there's old hot dogs. Okay. There's ham and cheese sandwiches that were packaged 14 days ago. And there's candy bars. They get you in and out. Candy bars in and out. He had to have run into a Twix in a press box or in the candy machine. I mean, Marez, think about all the radio rows that we've been to where they just try to feed your gullet so that you stop complaining. That's what the media is all about. Mm-hmm. Feed us so that we stop complaining. All of those places have bowls of candy and candy bars everywhere to just tie you over. How does Bob Ryan not run into a Twix?
And not only that, DA, how many times are the sponsors on Radio Row from Twix? I mean, Twix is out there pumping stuff left and right as well. Just think about all these scenarios. He brought up Halloween candy, the supermarkets at the end of the aisle. Hey, Bob, have you ever turned on a television or a sporting event, even if you're not at the stadium? Twix commercials every single game.
All over the place.
Have you ever seen a hockey boards? Have you ever seen, Twix is everywhere, everywhere. People know it's got the cookie crunch. I brought up Seinfeld. It's a famous Seinfeld episode. It's almost impossible to navigate your life watching television, young kids, going to stores, anything, and never, as you said, be like Josh Hamilton in the Home Run Derby and run into a couple. Like the Twix are out there. I mean, it's not like saying, have you ever seen Bigfoot walk? I mean, what are you kidding me? We developed so many Twix. We got peanut butter ones, cookies and cream ones. It's everywhere.
I don't know if I've ever had a Clark bar. It's possible I have never had one, but I know what it is.
Right. I don't know what Shemacola it is.
I've never eaten a Zag Nut. I know what a Zag Nut is. I can't imagine you don't run into a Twix once in a while. And this gives me pause about Bob. I when we have him on the show next time, we have to do a deep dive into what he knows and what he doesn't know. Because this is a guy that I'm telling you this. This is a legit story. When I worked in Boston, Bob Ryan was known of just showing up to practices, just watching it and leaving. And he would show up to any practice. Like, he would show up to Bruins skate around on a Tuesday and just leave. He would show up to Boston College basketball practice, just watch and leave. He wouldn't write about it. He was just all over the place, completely consumed with his job. He just wanted to be that well-informed. He just wanted to make sure he knew the seventh guy off the bench for BC basketball. He just wanted to make sure he was just aware of everything going on all the time. A guy that is that thirsty for information, how does he not know what a Twix is?
Because he's using it on the seventh guy off the BC bench. That's the problem sometimes. He uses it for things like that. Listen, I've spent, Sean has 2 years around Chris Mad Dog Russo. The guy knows things about the 1946, you know, game three of the World Series. But I'm sure there's something on his list that he has never heard of before, whether it's Twix or Doritos or Crystal Pepsi, that he never even, it never crossed his mind because he was too busy studying the New York Giants of 1941.
Did you know that Twix is derived from the combination of twin sticks? Okay.
Did not know that.
That's interesting, right? And this apparently is called a portmanteau. A portmanteau, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Portmanteau is a word which is a blend of two words to make a new word. So Twix is twin sticks. Did you know that smog is a combination of two words? Mraz, would you care to guess what smog is a combination of?
Smoke and fog.
Well done. That is correct. Did you know that motel is a combination of two words?
I'm sorry. I lost my headphones, ripping off my shirt in celebration.
Motel is a combination of two words.
Moving hotel.
Now, why would the hotel be moving?
Because you got to move quickly, day to day. It's a quick stay.
Oh, I was so nervous it was going to go nowhere, but of course it did.
And the gate's that right answer.
Moving hotel.
Had I known you were going to ask me a second one, I wouldn't have taken off my shirt in celebration. I thought it was a walk-off.
If you can jump on, you can stay here, but we're moving fast.
No, you move from room to room quickly.
So it's like those
the
moving walkways. It's like the moving walkways of the airport. That's yeah. What motel is.
There was
what is
a hotel
it?
Here yesterday. Where'd it go? Oh, it moved. Oh, okay.
Motor hotel. Motor hotel.
Oh. Well, I was close. I had hotel right.
You did have the hotel right. Okay. I might throw a few more of these out at you at some point.
Okay. I like it. I like this game.
Okay. No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Today's poll question, which Monday night team's loss was more concerning, the Bills or the Cowboys? 60% of you said it's the Cowboys that are most concerning. It was the fifth straight game the Cowboys have trailed by at least 14 points. Yikes. They came back to beat the Giants. Kyler Murray, now 7-0, as Bokes mentioned, at AT&T Stadium between his high school, college, and now NFL career. The last time the Bills had sole possession of first place this late in the season was 2008. Oh, wait, that was week 7 because the Patriots lost over the weekend. The Bills remain right now at 4-2 atop the division. All right, time now for your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Let's roll the tape.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Swallow. Save his life because they can't have chocolate.
You
what is
still,
that?
You could have just thrown it away.
This is like the Michael Jackson that you guys always bury the lead. A dog's life was
no,
saved.
No.
I'm a freaking
you
were
burying the lead. The lead is you
no,
decided
you're...
to put poop in your mouth. That's the
Bookish.
Lead, Sean.
You guys are dog owners.
There's always dog poop everywhere. No one picks up their dog poop.
Dogs can't have chocolate or they die. It's toxic inside their body. I rushed because that dog rushed to eat the same chocolate chip.
And if that, and he ends up eating that and he has a seizure and drops dead, how am I gonna live with myself the rest of my life?
Why didn't you just pick it up and put it in the garbage or put it in your pocket? Why did you have to eat it?
I want to find the local politicians, get those dog poop fine signs up.
Because I also was just eating a granola bar, so to make sure I was already in the process of eating that chocolate. It's a mental thing. I saved somebody's life.
And you guys are
acting like it's not worse that DA sniffing random hobo basically bird poop off his driveway and
how did
it up
suddenly
his nose
the bird poop
like it's
become
a line of cocaine?
Why was it hobo now?
Well, because birds are homeless. They're flocking all over the place.
Flocking all over the place. He's got a little stick with a satchel over his shoulder.
I'm sorry.
Flying
out of
Myrtle Beach.
You guys lost this one. DA needs to be hit hard for this. This is a bad job by him.
And no need for us to stress, you know, and go out here and poop on ourselves.
Look, I trashed myself. So I brought this to the committee.
Right.
I presented it in front of the jury, and I am trashing myself. But it still does not reach the level of sticking a piece of turd in your mouth and eating it.
I've stepped in it many times.
All right. I mean, we could all agree to disagree here. You still got bird poop particles up through your nasal cavity, down your throat, into the back of your mouth. I'd list the reading today. That's all I'm saying.
Thanks, Doc.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. We've got plenty more trashes as well to get to. As Adriana tweets, I'm trashing you and Mraz DA for simplifying the Niners' struggles over the first few weeks. Just some of the injuries week two, nearly every key player and Richard Sherman out for the season. Okay. Can trash us.
Overflowing landfill.
AZ and Wisco is trashing the suits that replaced weight room kicker with an egg white omelet. Bring back the 7-Eleven Central Time mothership. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
That deserves a trash can emoji.
A. Pierce tweets, I just bought a damn Twix on my way to work at 5 a.m. Thanks, guys. Ed tweets, DA, after listening to Mac Hollins, I'm nervous I'm going to see a snake when I go down to Miami next week. I hate snakes. Tell me you didn't see any of those when you went to the Super Bowl last year. Do not worry. We did not see any snakes in Florida. Fear not. You should be okay. Cos and Wisco, I'm trashing Mraz. Enough of the equivocating bull crap. DA sniffed bird poop accidentally. It does not equal eating a doggy dingleberry. Quit pulling everyone down to your level when you embarrass yourself. Hashtag poopy doopy.
That will contribute to the microplastics in the bottom of the ocean.
How do you have that hot a serious take and then hashtag poopy doopy on the way out the door?
And Mac tweets, wow, great fart, dog poop, and fighting stories all in the same segment, guys. Hashtag big props. Yeah, it was that type of morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti of the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. PGP is going to be taped right after the show, so look for it later on today. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnect.
Poopy doopy doopy, doopy poopy.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.